Welcome back. Welcome back to our Christian's Guide to the Quran. My name is Bob. The material you're about to see is being recorded not only in YouTube, but also in sermon audio for those who prefer audio. And here are the ways that you can get in touch with those other things. We have ezinearticles.com for people who want a transcript. We're talking about the Quran. Right now we're doing introductory materials about Islam in general. We're talking about Sharia law, in fact, today. Generally speaking, Muslims call the law of God Sharia. It literally means the path to the water hole. How about that for a descriptive term? The path to the water hole. In a desert culture, this definition tells it all, doesn't it? It's the way to peace, the way to refreshment, the way to restoration. It's our way of life, the Muslims say, how we order our lives. The details of this law are many and involved, and the philosophy behind them varies according to the sect of Islam that's enforcing them. As in every legal system, everything imaginable is included. I'll list only a few things that might be of interest, not in any way attempt to complete understanding of Sharia. For example, a man is entitled up to 4 wives in Sharia. Those wives are entitled to separate housing if possible. Number 2, crimes against God listed by the Quran must be dealt with severely, but through an involved legal process also. There is a certain amount of protection there. Such crimes are adultery, apostasy, blasphemy, sodomy, lesbianism, alcohol and drug use, and interestingly enough, terrorism and armed violence and theft are considered against God. It will be interesting to find out as we go through the Quran how they get around that one. Penalties can include the cutting off of the hand of a thief, the flogging of an adulterer, and death to those who leave Islam. That's a crime that's equivalent to treason. Okay, here's some of those Sharia things if you're trying to take notes. Apostasy equals treason, which equals death in Islam. Penalties, oh, I already said that. Number 4, a myriad of dietary laws, so dress code, rituals, much of it reminiscent of the Jewish code, and indeed much of it, therefore, very good. Health-oriented, sanitary, and so on, but such a heavy weight, and all of this for salvation. There's so much more that could be said of Islamic law, Islam, the Quran, excuse me. My intention is only to introduce these subjects. We're not going deeply into Islam, we're going deeply into the Quran in a little while. Only introductory stuff. I want people to know what the Quran says, for you Christian believers to see for yourselves what is being taught. Then we're going to bring Christian truths right alongside these things that I'm bringing out. Now, this study is for Christians only, by the way. I want to say it again. Muslims already know that their book is radically different from the Bible, and they glory in it. Believers who are not yet convinced that the Bible is the Word of God are going to have to make a decision between biblical truths and Quranic truths. True Christian believers must make all decisions before they go into the Quran. If you're having any hesitation about this, don't go with me. Is the Bible God's word or not in your heart? If you're a believer in Jesus, you need to ask that question. No attempt is being made, by the way, to spread hatred of people. The world's seen enough of this. Nevertheless, Christians who are called to love Muslims are also called to hate what God hates, namely lies about his word, about his son, about his plan to save us, about his plan to redeem those who will believe the gospel. If you come against that, that teaching deserves hatred. Vengeance and judgment, and it will be plentiful, and it will be bloody, belongs to the Lord upon his return. It'll be vented out on all non-repentant people, not just Muslims. For now, we preach Christ, right? We expose lies. We call people to repentance. We plead with the hearts of all men. We desire with God that all should be saved And we shed real tears from heaven within us as witness to our love. As we make our way through the Quran, we're going to discover some things that are very painful to our belief system, if you haven't already. It's important that we know the truth as it is stated by the Holy Spirit through the apostles and prophets of the Bible before we make such a trip, as I've already said this time. Be looking for the biblical and Quranic chapter and verse for these items as we go through, so you can hold a good conversation with a Muslim if you need to. And you know, you may need to. Here's a preview of coming attractions, though, for the as we go into the surah by surah study, which is coming up. Here's some of the things we're going to run across. About God, His name to the Muslim is Allah. The basic Arabic meaning is just God. In the Muslim sense, it's the only God, the exalted God, and so forth. We're going to see when we're in the Quran that this God, the God of the Quran, is not our God. First thing, He has no son. We'll find out other reasons later. But He has no son. Our God has a son. Many sons. However, one in particular, sorry. However, the title Allah is used by many Christians in the East, just to clear that air, and could be considered a relative to the Elohim of the Bible. I'm sure that's controversial stuff right there, but somebody said that, and I just want to pass it on to you so I can give you the whole truth. The fact that all of these things mean God when they, all these people mean God when they're using that term, Allah, does not mean that the person that they're praying to is the same person. Just the same title. Even in English, we use the word God, and that word God can mean anything we choose it to mean, false or otherwise. There was an Allah in Arabia before Muhammad, before his new religion. It was the moon god, Allah was. Muhammad's father was a devotee of this god. It seems that Muhammad chose to lift this one god out of obscurity, and make of that God the only God. Hence, as some claim, we have monotheistic heathenism, because the God that came out of that group of gods was just one of many heathen gods at that time. That's not to say that Muslims today worship the God of the moon knowingly. They worship the God that's been created by the Quran, which they've been told is the God of the Bible, too, brought into sharp and accurate focus by Muhammad. The God of Islam is gender neutral, you need to know. To ascribe natural gender to deity is considered blasphemous to a Muslim. We have he's and she's, but not in heaven. The masculine pronoun is used only for linguistic reasons, they say. As for Jesus, we'll discover that He is a revered prophet in Islam and nothing more. That He was not the one who died on that cross. That He is never to be worshipped on pain of idolatry and the consequences thereof. And those consequences are pretty severe. This is a dark road that we must travel. But we travel it to find the proof that we're looking for and to put the darkness next to the light. You know what? Light always wins when you do that. Also, there are spirit-like beings in Islamic thought. They're called jinns. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I'm probably not. They seem like demons from a Christian perspective. Muslims deny our definition of demons, that is, fallen angels. You see, in Islam, angels cannot fall. Why? They're all Muslims. And they're all good. Gabriel, Michael, all the rest of them, some of your friends from the Bible, you'll find in Islam. Jinns are the cause of many supernatural phenomena. They haunt houses. They possess people. They give predictions to psychics. Sound familiar? Yeah, I think we better call them demons. But they don't call them that. Entry into Islam is quite simple. Applicants merely need to confess a two-line testimony of faith in the presence of two witnesses. At that moment, sins are erased and the newly rescued believer is reborn. Subsequently, forgiveness could come in just four simple steps. Sorrow, simple request of Allah for forgiveness, restitution if needed, and the resolution never to sin again. On Judgment Day, entrance into heaven or hell will be based on the Muslim's faith, his works, and the motivation of his heart. It's Allah's decision. One can't know what that decision will be until his time here is up. Salvation, then, to a Muslim is simply accepting and obeying Allah in all morals, all rituals, regular repentance, and we've heard this story before, haven't we? Yeah, Romanism, for one. I couldn't help but think how many of the world's religions, and how many misinformed Christian believers, too, have a similar regimen as this, a hope that's based only on my performance. Oh, God, that is not hope at all, is it? Then there's the Islamic method and spirit. We don't have to speak of radicals or extremists to identify within Islam a spirit of violence and control and anger that can erupt all too easily. Jesus said to the disciples, some disciples in his day, "You don't know what spirit you're of." He was referring to two brothers who wanted to call down fire in his name on a town that would not accept him. Jesus said, "Hey, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's not how we do things now. Things have changed. I came to forgive. I came to heal. To build a spiritual kingdom that is not based on violence at all. Not till I come again." He demonstrated his methods while he was here, in the garden, at his trial, on the cross. And God showed what he had in mind at the resurrection. The Muslim religion does not approach life this way. Let's leave it there for now. It'll show up as we read the Quran together. We'll be horrified, in fact, but at least well-educated. We must fairly add that Roman Catholicism, has been a violent religion in its days of power, too. I am not a Roman Catholic, not connected to that group in any way, but in the Muslim eyes, Romanism is Christianity. Even Protestant groups have played that awful game when they could. It simply is not Christ. Force? No. Not now. Vengeance will follow, but not now. When we confront these atrocities in the surahs, we're going to shed the light of Jesus on it, and I'll show you what Jesus had in mind. There are many more strange things ahead of us. Are you ready yet to confront the truth of Islam? Are you ready to stop listening to the news media for your information? Will you cease hearing the watered-down version of Islam that's proclaimed by Western Muslims and the Western press? Have you any idea what their book says about you, about God's plan for your life? Soon you will. Stay tuned. That's all for this time. God bless you.